And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. I'm Doug Hagmann. It's Wednesday, May 14th, 2025. I can't believe it. May's like half of May is gone almost. Pretty soon we're going to be talking about Labor Day. Okay, that's the way I feel. Anyway, time is just going like crazy. Do you feel like time is speeding up, folks, in the chat? I mean, and I want to thank each and every one of you in the chat for being there, for being part of the program, for saying, hey, give the program a thumbs up, for spreading this show on your social media. Even if you have five people following, it doesn't matter. I don't know how many we have. It was cut down tremendously. I think we're at like 28,000 or something like that. It doesn't matter because I can send it. If I send any post of substance on X, formerly Twitter, very few people see it. Maybe five, six. Unless it gets retweeted. Post a picture. I posted that picture. The screener. What the hell? I'm trying to think that was of Maxwell greeting me. Of course, I will bring Maxwell and Lady into my office, which is right over there. You can't see it, and they do have access to the studio. Lady's just, you know, man, she's having a tough time with her Cushing's and all that. She was doing very well for a while, and now she's, but anyway, so Maxwell, you know, he just feels like it opens the door, comes out. Anyway, so I posted that screen cap, and the reason I mentioned this is it's an example. When you look at the metrics, it's pretty impressive. You know, a couple hundred actually saw that. Now, if I post or Eric posts on my behalf, what am I about to share with you tonight? I guarantee you, no one is going to see it, or very few. It'll be very sparse and sporadic. Which leads me into a couple of things. An announcement. Don't forget, for the monthly meeting of supporters, you know, I absolutely positively, 100%, and we know this, I've mentioned this before, this coming Sunday, which should have happened the first week, but folks, I just, sorry about that. And last Sunday was Mother's Day, so it's this. So we'll chat. The other announcement I have is this coming Monday, I will be undergoing some things. And let me just be honest with you, okay, and transparent with you. Usually when somebody says, let me be honest with you, you have to say, well, you weren't being honest before. You got to qualify that. No, I just went transparent. Just share with you, you know, what's going on personally. You know, I had an issue, I had abdominal surgery because of a burst, shredded, blown up gallbladder. And when they were rooting around in there, they're saying, hey, you know what? You got a problem over here, and they got a problem over here, and we got some issues. And I asked, why couldn't you fix them then? Well, no way. We just had to take the shop vac and clean you up. So, for the foreseeable future, I'm going to be getting stuff done just to keep me upright and functional. And it's, look, I'll tell you, it's serious. I'm not going to, again, I'm not going to pull any punches, but it's serious. And it's more than one thing. And this is why I've turned this show a little bit differently, because unlike others out there, I don't know. I mean, when God says, you know what, Doug, you're fired. And no, not President Trump, God. You're done. I'm okay with that. But unlike others, I want you to know what I know to the extent possible. Okay. I want you to know what I know. And one of the topics that I'm going to be talking about tonight is the attempted homicide in Butler. And you may say, oh, haven't you talked about that enough? No, I have. And there's, look, I've seen, there's some, there are false premises. There's things that we have not disclosed because we can't, okay? But there's certain things we can't disclose until the end client. And I think everyone knows who that is. It says, okay, you know, you're free to disclose. That's just ethics. That's just the ethical and really the legal thing that we, as a credentialed investigative agency, that's what we're required. That's required of us. So, and I got to thinking too, of that material that we really can't disclose. Now, if again, if suddenly God says you're done, I'm sure Eric will get on and that information will drop like a boulder. Okay. I just want to point that out to you. And I'm not trying to draw this out. I'm just really trying to tell you there are things going on that, well, maybe you might wonder, why does he sound funny? Why does he look weird? Well, I'm more than usual. It's because I got issues. And issues more than, you know, Xanax could, or whatever the, what is that stuff that makes you happy pills? I don't know. Anyway, I don't take any of that. Now, on the good news is this. I spoke at length with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's executive assistant, Michelle. God bless that young lady. She's just a fantastic. And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, you talk about a fantastic person, knowledgeable beyond belief. Now, I had her originally scheduled for Monday, and then this came up. I have to reschedule her, and there's only a few days that she can come on. But she just released it. Okay. And I read it, or I'm reading it now. I shouldn't say I read it. I'm reading it now. And let me tell you, Eric the Tech, can we pull up? Let's see here. I can't send you the. I can't send you the file I have, but Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, her latest book is. I wanted to bring up the Amazon page, but for Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, I don't know if you can do that or not. Her latest book is, it ain't cheerful reading. Let me just say that. The title, Zero Accountability. Zero Accountability in a Failed System is the full title. How Big Pharma Weaponizes Vaccines, Public Health, and the Law. The book is absolutely incredible. The information in there is you know, you might think, well, I know pretty much all of this. There's stuff in there I had no idea. And worse, it didn't give me the warm fuzzies about ever accountability ever taking place. Now, will it? That's not so far. That's not what the book, what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is saying. That's not what she's saying, that there will never be accountability. There hasn't been. And will there? Well, a lot of things are going to have to change. Eric, I can't. Well, hang on a minute here. I got to bring up the chat anyway, because I love you guys. I love all you people. I love everyone who joins us in chat and who listens on the audio podcast. You guys, not just some. Hopefully, I can see the preview here. I can. When was that published? Because I just want to make sure it's out right now. It's got a 5 with the 3 ratings, but Eric the Tech, do you know when the publication date on that? I guess I can look. Well, it won't give me the month and date. Anyway, it's brand new. But you know, the reason I'm thankful, and I would
March
say
30th.
March 30th. Okay, so you're looking at April. And about a month and a half. The research that she must have put into that is just mind blowing. Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate that. But the reason I brought her up is because, number one, we will be talking with her in detail. She will be disclosing like all of the stuff that she found. Even above what's in the book, people say, "Well, you're just out to sell books." No, they're not mine. I don't make any money off of it. But I'll tell you what, I love to read them. I love the information in them, and this one is particularly good. So I'd recommend this. This is high on my reading list right now. I mean, I'm reading it, but this would be high on my reading list. This is absolutely critical, because we're facing this weaponized system. You talk about weaponized justice system, this healthcare system, this weaponized healthcare system, and the actual weaponization against us as end users of pharmaceuticals and of medicine. But I mentioned her as well because she is so graciously assisted me. And I appreciate everyone who says, well, check with this doctor for this problem. The alternative MDs, DOs, and alternators, medical doctors. She's got me hooked. I mean, and I appreciate so much. And I just want to say that publicly to thank Michelle, her executive assistant, who's just a wonderful person, as well as Dr. Tenpenny. So, yeah, I said all of that just to say thank you. I want to mention the book, and also she'll be coming up, just not next Monday, because we're going to be off next Monday. Tomorrow's going to be Steve Quayle. Now, there's a number of things happening. Before I get into the essence of the information I want to drop about Butler, and again, it's not just about Butler. It's about the people involved. It's about the framework, and it's about the people that were still walking around, and it's about the attempts. Before I get into that, I want to stay on the medical, the weaponization, the issues that we have with different people, different states. I mean, we got Gates, wanting to blur out the sun. You got a bunch of psychopaths who want to do, frankly, who just want to kill every one of us. If you're a Christian and if you're white and if you're productive and if you're middle class and if you're, yeah, you got the target on your back. I saw this a day or two ago, and I put it aside to mention this, but let me just get to it right now. Alex Jones talked about it today. I think I pulled, I know I did. I pulled a couple of clips. There's a long clip, and then there's a... I didn't even send that to you, did I? Eric the Tech. Now, let's go to cut one, Glenn Beck, medical martial law in the state of Washington. This might cover it without Jones's commentary. Again, God bless Alex Jones, but this might cover it. You've got to watch what's taking place in Washington. That's being used, it's my understanding, as a template. Boy, that word is just getting overused here as a model for other states, especially blue states like Pennsylvania. And also, part of this, but not mentioned with this, you know, nationally, the Real ID Act went into play, right? You know that. How many people never got real ID purposely? F you, I ain't doing it. You can do whatever you want, but I'm not doing it. I ain't going to comply. There's a video about that as well, and that relates to this, again, at its periphery. Let's play the minute 20. Cut one, Hagman PI, two ends on Hagman, HagmanPI.com in the show notes. Let's play cut one.
If you're living in Washington State, may I just say, get the hell out now. I've said
the entire state?
The entire state. Get out of the state.
Wow.
And I'm dead serious on that. You're living in a state that has gone absolutely insane. First of all, we talked about this before, and nobody's really talking about this. The medical thing that they just passed in Washington State, and they passed it, and the governor has signed it. And basically it says, if there's a medical emergency, we can do whatever we want to you. Now remember, this is the state that was talking about building like little internment camps for people who wouldn't get vaccinated last time. Okay? They were talking about that. If you think that they won't do that, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. And so it says if the governor decides that there's a medical emergency, a statewide emergency, that the state, based on, I love this one, based on scientific experts, they will dictate what happens to every individual. What you have to get, if scientific experts tell you have to take this, you will be forced to take that. I'm not having my kids in that state. I'm not living in that state. Are you living in that state?
Well, Eric Tech, can you hear me? Okay.
You're a little garbly.
Do I need to, you said turn it down a little bit. Should I turn it down or up? Because I'm having.
Turn it up.
All right, how's this? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's good.
So that's better, right?
Yes.
All right. I had to adjust some settings over here. I don't know what I did, but there you go.
I just want to remind people, too.
Go ahead.
If you have a passport, you do not need real ID.
Correct. You don't. And folks, there was somebody from Pennsylvania on X, posted like a minute video, it's citing essentially what the Real ID Act, they postponed it numerous times, but you've got a do nothing, basically communist infiltrated uniparty Congress, both chambers, the lower and higher chambers. So don't expect anything of any substance. I mean, and we could talk about the big beautiful bill and what's in that. Really, let me tell you something. If you think, and I know our audience, the people who tuned in, if you think anything's going to change, it's not. It is not going to change. And just some advice. And I really want to be here when this happens, because when the pendulum swings the other way, back to the left, you know that that they're coming after us. And I'm not saying that to spook anyone. Okay, just saying. So, medical martial law, Washington State, camps, arrests. Well, I mean, they could do anything they want. Being used in other states, I've been told that Pennsylvania is one, potentially, at least looking at the language and looking at the structure. A few other, I mean, typical. Okay, Illinois, California. And those I'm fairly certain of, and the rest I'd be guessing. So you've got that. Okay, so that's taking place. Again, this is before I get into the real, real importance. I mean, it's all important, but the real stuff. Video cut to. And while I'm otherwise preoccupied, and on the, especially on the days that there are no shows, I will be attempting, and I mentioned this to Eric the Tech, I will be writing my investigative reports and findings about different issues. You might like to read them instead of listening to, you know, me blab on. And we'll tell you, Eric the Tech, if you want to jump in here, because I've got a Substack account I just haven't used. I've got various other possibilities. How did we decide? Have we decided how that information would be disseminated? Or would we just post like regular articles on HagmanPI.com? You know, like how
we might do like a special video article thing, something fancy.
Okay. All right. You like how we're working this out, like in real time? All right.
Also on the Real ID.
Yeah. Please.
When Trump signed that executive order mandating proof of citizenship for voters,
yes,
that included Real ID.
Believe me, I'm not making excuses for him, but I believe he had, or that had to be included. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but apparently that had to be included. You're not talking about you're not saying that he, rubber stamped it confirmed it, right? I mean, that's not what you're saying or what your understanding is.
Yeah, I think it was just a part of that election bill, fraud and stuff like that.
Exactly. That's my take on
strong-armed into having to do that to get ID approved.
Among other things, believe me. And there's some pending voter ID legislation coming down the pike. But you know what? Look at Mike Lindell. he's getting sued. His employees are getting sued because it's an employee-owned company. by the voting machine companies. Ain't no one helping him. He's going to be... I feel bad for the guy. But the man will not settle. And when you have deep pockets or credit or friends with money, you don't have to settle. Just saying, you can fight it out. And that's what he's doing. So Godspeed to Mike Lindell. But there's something else happening in addition to the medical tyranny. And you may or may not, folks, care for or like Michael Yon because of his straightforward politics. Okay. I mean, he doesn't hold back. He says what he thinks. And I love him for that. He'd tell me, you know what? Stop sucking or kissing Trump's ass or whatever. And he's right about certain things. He's right. The guy has been down at the Darien Gap in Panama, everywhere, looking at different issues. We have a problem. We have a problem in Texas. You know about this. This was just aired, I think, this evening. Michael Yon appeared on Steve Bannon's show. Governor Abbott has taken $1.4 million from the developer of Colony Ridge. Governor Abbott is also using, and I don't know how many people know this, using the Texas Texas Guard to facilitate, not to repel, but to facilitate more invaders coming into this country. I'm telling you, it's a cluster, you know what. This is an eight...
Wait.
Yeah.
To allow more to come in?
Yes, you heard me right.
So the whole photo op of him putting National Guard and stuff on the border, was that a photo op?
Yes. Sadly, yes. Now... You know how criminals behave, or not criminal in this case, but if you want to pull something over on someone, you know, you point people over here and you act up over there. Okay. And that's kind of what Abbott is doing. He's talking at both sides of his mouth, in my opinion. And he is actually facilitating. And there's a video of the Texas, I believe it was a Texas National Guard, assisting a paramilitary, couple of paramilitary people, generically dressed, wearing full face coverings, ushering these invaders onto a bus to ship into the interior, and people will say, well, no, they're going to an ICE detention facility. No, this is circumventing the detention places. Folks, you can. I had to make a couple of calls because I wasn't sure. I saw the video. I'm like, well, okay. I don't know. I know what I see, but I don't know. So, if you think about Michael Yon, his knowledge about Governor Abbott, people like Ann Vandersteel, others, who know what's going on, saying, oh yeah, this is going on, but. Here's cut two, and this is Bannon and Michael Yon tonight. This is about Colony Ridge, and taking $1.4 million from the developer of this, it's not just an Islamic community city. It is a slum, and it is a hub for prostitution, cartel activity, drug running, human trafficking. I'm telling you right now, if you look into Colony Ridge, not that Epic Cities, not that, not the, not what's proposed was already there. And I know there have been people that know a lot about this who are listening right now and who have sent me emails about this, and I want to thank you. But pay attention to this video. This is extremely important, and listen to what Michael Yon has to say. Here it is.
This is Colony Ridge, Texas, reputed to be the largest illegal alien city in America. On May 13, I took helicopter and fixed-wing aircraft flights over the city to see what's happened since Donald Trump was elected in November 2024. Development is down. That's the good news. But the bad news? The state of Texas and ICE apparently are no longer doing deportations.
Okay, this may have some... you can continue, because that's just motor noise. This may have that... maybe a piece of that video is referring to. Now, the narration will pick back up at some point. And again, that's just motor noise of the aircraft. Michael Yon was on that aircraft, I think it was yesterday.
It's a target-rich environment. And it's unclear why, after some initial ICE Texas operations, that few others have followed.
So we have two situations in Texas, and I think they're inextricably linked. One, you've had these real estate developers around these things, like the Colony, where it housed illegal aliens, think down near the Houston area. Everybody looked the other way. It's a festering story. Didn't do any mass deportations. Now you have, it's coming to light, all of this kind of Islamic centers coming around, mosques coming around, huge, their own towns, our own entities like Colony. Michael Yon joins us. Michael, talk to me about the Colony. Why are we not doing mass deportations out of there and like doing them immediately? And because this is one of the reasons I think these real estate developers get there. They're making tons of money. They don't care about Texas. They don't care about the United States of America. And you're seeing it now in this kind of mass infusion of Islamic centers and others, these kind of communities in Texas. Your thoughts, sir?
Yes, yeah, Steve, thank you for having me on. I just got back to Texas from Panama, where I was watching the things down there, similar matters. And I was in the front seat of both of those aircraft yesterday from those videos. The great patriot David Cannon allows me to jump in his helicopter and his airplane every time I come to look at Colony Ridge. We've been looking at Colony Ridge for a while. We all know that it's a safe city, you might say, for illegal aliens. And it is filled with drug activity, prostitution, lots of violent crime. And the Texas law enforcement is doing nothing about it. Governor Abbott has actually taken $1.4 million from the developer of Colony Ridge, Trey Harris. And we know that I was just watching a Texas House of Representatives Homeland Security Public Safety and Veterans Affairs testimony before I came on with you this morning, and they opened that testimony with basically welcoming their stakeholders. This is the Texas House of Representatives stakeholders. That's World Economic Forum talk. We know that. We know that Governor Greg Abbott is a member of the World Economic Forum. He's very clear about that. He's very open about it. He's on their website. He actually is now involved. Texas is a sanctuary state. That's just what it is. They might not call it that, but it is. The only state that's really standing up to this and adhering to 287G, which is the provision, the agreement between, should be an agreement between states and the federal government, to that law enforcement can be basically deputized at the federal level to begin mass deportations. The only state that's actually adhering to this is Florida. Texas is not doing it. Texas is de facto sanctuary state. They are not adhering to 287G. I was just looking at this this hearing, actually, and the Lieutenant Colonel Jason Taylor, the Deputy Director of Law Enforcement Operations, who I'm sure will see this today, at DPS. DPS is Department of Public Safety in Texas. That's basically Texas sort of FBI. So Lieutenant Colonel Jason Taylor is saying that Texas, the DPS, does not want to adhere to 287G. 287G is the provision that it helps us mass deport people. Only Florida's doing it. I hope that President Trump sees this and will call up Texas and threaten to cut off all federal funding to the state of Texas if they keep operating like California. I mean, Texas is becoming like California because of the leadership that's been installed into these offices, like Abbott, who fooled many of my good friends in Texas for quite a while by taking the buses from the border with Mexico and busing people up to places like New York. And of course, my conservative friends were immediately happy in the beginning. And I said, be careful. He's actually inserting more of these invaders deeper into our heart. Remember New York and Massachusetts and all those places. You pause that for a second. That's the United
That, folks, and I know this audience is, and I'm not blowing smoke up anyone's skirt, this audience is much further ahead of the curve. I'm thinking of I'll just say L from another country, who sends me great emails, both good and bad. Hey Doug, you really sucked that one. Not really. Or he'll point things out. But he's from another country, and he's been in the trenches as well. So that's kind of reflective of everyone listening and watching, in my opinion, because I read your letters, I read your notes to me, sent by mail. I also look at the thumb drives sent to me. I do that very carefully, by the way, and by industry standards, so nothing bad happens. So what he is saying right there, remember when you had the very same people who refuse? Well, I just have to point to that Bondi Binder fiasco. And you look at all the people there. The conservative influencers, the rah, rah, yay, let's go. Finally, we're getting some justice. He didn't get squat. And Michael Yon calls it out every single time. And that's why I will, and I could have him on the show. But look, I have, but I have a lot of respect for his time. He's down there 2 hours of sleep yesterday. Okay, yesterday, 2 hours of sleep. And he's back out exposing all of this. I'd much rather have Steve Bannon interview him, and then we play that interview, than bother him to come on our show. That doesn't mean there's no conversation. It just means I respect his time. Go ahead and continue with that.
United States, too. Abbott is just clearing the banks of the Rio Grande to bring more in now. Fast forward to 2025, it's obviously true what some of us have been saying for so long, including you. I know, Steve, I know you go after Abbott all the time, and with very good reason. Now Abbott is proving this all to be true. He's actually set up this state, Texas, as a sanctuary state.
Wow.
It's just over the top, Steve.
Michael, where do we get a bounce? Where do we go to get all this footage? You got Benzman's voice on this. You're up in the helicopter. this thing's pretty explosive. We've been spending a lot of time in Texas with the folks in the House where the Democrats are now running it, although it's a MAGA state. Trump won by 14 points, folks, and this is what you get. Where do people go to get all your content, Michael?
A Substack. I just published on this on Substack about an hour ago. I'm on Substack constantly now. I haven't put this footage up yet because we got back late. But I'll put it up later tonight. So, and obviously this is huge. Colony Ridge is just one of the places. There are a lot of law enforcement in Texas that want to defend our country. They want to defend the great state of Texas, but the leadership at DPS, Steve, wow, as you well know, cowards are natural traitors. They're installing cowards into these leadership positions. Like this guy, wow, Lieutenant Colonel Jason Taylor. I mean, he's clearly on the side of letting these illegal aliens stay in the state of Texas. And I hope, wow, Jason Taylor sees this, Lieutenant Colonel. We're watching. Many people are watching how you behave from here out.
Amen. Great work, Jan. Look forward to having you back on the next couple of days.
Fantastic report about what's really going on in Texas. During that pause, I mentioned the social media influencers. They, whether wittingly or unwittingly, are causing, in my opinion, causing a lot of damage because they are taking talking points, hollow talking points, running with them and saying, look, we are winning, and we're not. We're far from winning. When you have Texas, the state that should be leading the nation, capitulating to cartel activity. And again, Michael Yon, if you subscribe or follow him on his Substack, he will point this out. California, the same. You have governors receiving funds indirectly from the cartels. I can think of two. One was just mentioned, and another is Gavin Newsom. Sue me if you want. It'll never happen. You also have, as much as it pains me to say this, law enforcement, county sheriffs in Texas, and virtually every state, there's at least one or more counties that are where law enforcement is compromised by cartel or NGO funding, graft, grift, whatever, payoffs, money, cash, and duffel bags, but no one covers that. You have the judicial, obviously, the judicial tyranny that's taking place to stop the deportation. Well, what about Justice Roberts? What the hell's going on with him? When Roberts, of all people, but then he's got a track record. So just look historically at what's going on with Roberts. You know, yesterday I mentioned Scalia. Who'd we get after Scalia? Who replaced Scalia? But anyway, you remember Roberts. You know, think about January 6th and the political prisoners of January 6th. Look, I contend this, and I think everyone would be in agreement with me. This is something we cannot let go. Every person incarcerated for walking into the Capitol, as long as they were not a confidential informant, and there's a difference with these designations, an operational asset of the FBI, operational asset for the Central Intelligence Agency. Yes, there were operatives for the Capitol Police. There were as long as You weren't one of those. I believe, obviously, that what happened to those people is criminal. And the entirety of the January 6th committee, unselect committee, and the Pelosi's of the world, as well as, of course, Schiff was part of the J6, the guy that shot Ashley Babbitt, the other police officers who beat one woman to death. We're not going to see justice. Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, you know, as an investigator, there are certain cases where they're gimmies. They're easy layups, man. What happened at the New Jersey ICE detention facility with three individuals, two U.S. members of the U.S. House? It's on video, multiple angles. It's available for Pam Bondi. It's available for Cash Patel. How about for those two members of the House? How about, Cash, why don't you bust their friggin' door down at 6 a.m, shoot their dog? No, please don't do that. No. Don't do that. Anybody but the dog. Make a statement like you did with Roger Stone and invite, hey, you can even invite Fox over. Yeah. Or CNN. CNN seems to be everywhere. You think we're going to get justice for people like the pedophiles associated with the Epstein and even P. Diddy, Sean Combs? No, we're not. I'm not talking about Combs. Again, that's low-hanging fruit. That is a compromised intelligence asset. I'm telling you right now. There was too much media, too much heat put on Combs. They had to take him down. But the handlers, no. Man, I'll tell you what. I wondered why, for a long time, why I was in the position to be an operational and informational asset for the FBI and back in the 90s and watch all of this and be part of it and wearing wires. And I thought it was so great and being inside and kind of setting people up, right? But I mean, they were engaged. Look, they were engaged in criminal activity. That little adrenaline rush, man. And, you know, you're talking to someone, it will say in a house, and you know there's like a friggin' army, a battalion of FBI and state and local cops just around the corner waiting for that particular word. And they bust in the door and all hell breaks loose. And, you know, you got a guy unsuspecting, really, I pee his pants. How about Cash? How about the same treatment for that happened with the people at the Capitol, the peaceful, the grandmothers who went in to pray and were thrown into, you know, you know what I'm saying, folks, right? So here we have video, proof positive, that two members of Congress committed felonies in New Jersey. Easy pickings. All you got to do is sign the arrest warrant. Is that a bridge too far? So, again, you've got the evidence, but but do nothing? So what are we to suspect about this? What are you, building a case? No, the case is already there. There's nothing. All you got to do is, I mean, I can do it. You fill out a form, a couple of forms, and you file the... But again, it's not going to happen. Can you see where this is going? Now, on the other hand, there you do have, and I'll say this, if President Trump is harangued about this, he will make some moves to put the pressure on Bondi and to put pressure on the FBI. I'm just saying that. But you've got 80% of the FBI and an equal amount within the Department of Justice working against any kind of revision. And that's a sad thing. So if you're expecting things to happen, you might want to, you know, think about that. I'm not disparaging anybody's efforts who are truly trying to change the system and do right by the American people. I'm not trying to disparage anyone, except we're not going to see any results until we start playing hardball. Just like that big beautiful bill, okay, or just like the codifying of the executive orders. What the hell? 44 out of the last 70 days? To flip that around, maybe Congress worked like 20 days this year? Johnson, I don't know. He must be playing with his Johnson. Ain't nothing getting done. Because, let me say it this way, there's nothing getting done that can't be undone with a stroke of a pen. Anything of substance. Oh, there are certain things, but, you know, like the Gulf of Mexico / Gulf of America, that was done. Okay. So, are you guys depressed yet? I don't want to make anybody depressed. I really don't. Look, all is not lost, because a lot of this rests upon us. We can make enough noise. We can go on. I'm looking at the chat. Doug, stop it. There's no justice. I agree. You know the recent arrests of pedophiles, right? People engaged in child porn and stuff. You realize that the various agencies, FBI, in conjunction with the other agencies, Postal Service, etc., they have an operation every year. You think that was a new initiative? No, that was scheduled. It's routinely scheduled where they go after and make these kinds of busts. So I'm just saying. Now, what, curiously, when I look at things and the very limited opportunity I've had to interact with people within the power circle, again, very limited, I'm not going to overstate it, with respect to our investigation. I am convinced of this. I'm convinced of a couple of things. President Trump does love America. President Trump does want to see America survive and thrive. But he's otherwise distracted because of the mess economically and deliberately left by the Biden regime. And to be frank, extending back into the Bush dynasty, Bush 1 and then bush, you know, the shrub. So that's where his focus is 99% of the time, is to, because he realizes that if we crash and burn, economically, if everything goes south economically, it's going to make 2008 look like a picnic. It's going to make it'll make the Great Depression just seem like nothing. We're all going to be destroyed. So I understand where his focus is. That's not to say, you know, other things can't be done by other people. I'm just saying. So I'm not trying, look, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not trying to give anyone hopium. I'm just, it's just the facts. And bringing that into account, I learned the most by conversations in that very limited area, that very limited time period, and even throughout the course, continuing through current day. But the more I see, there are, the power structure, of course, is going after to decapitate the United States, the President Trump, the people around him, the people who make a difference and are making a difference. And that concerns me, because at least that I can report on. And I can get, I can speak with some authority about that. I'm going to show you a couple of things right now that dual purpose. Number one, this speaks to a lot of things, but the when I say dual purpose, there's a reason. This what I'm going to be playing some videos, having them pause, pop in, and make some commentary. This has to do, this first part has to do with behavioral analysis. And folks, if there's one thing that I love, I just love to be able to do, is bring people or show videos where you learn things that actually help you in real life and understand things that maybe you didn't, you knew about it, but maybe you didn't see it that particular way. So that's kind of one use. So pay attention to the things and listen and watch certain things that you might pick up and say, you know what, I can use that in day-to-day affairs. And the second part of this is the more focused areas of concern that I've never mentioned before. It bears mentioning now. Again, I could speak rapid fire. I really could. And just like say this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And you know, be done with it, Shapiro style or whatever. That's not my, but that's not me. I want to be very clear, concise, and encompass as much as I can. I left this alone for the past 9 months. I have not touched this aspect of what you're going to see. You need to, well, I don't like it when people say that. I recommend, highly recommend you sticking with me and watching with me, along with me. Now, I'll provide some additional commentary. This, there's, let's see, one, two, three. I think I pulled three videos, two of which are very, very important. And I have not talked about these again. The first two, video number three and video four, have to do with behavioral analysis. Before you say, well, you know what, that's a little bit far out of certainly your wheelhouse. Not really, because again, when you take forensic stuff for homicide investigations, you're also taught interview and interrogation, and you're also taught behavioral analysis as a part of that interview and interrogation. Some people have, listening to this, if they're police officers, detectives, or whatever, know the Reed technique of an interview and interrogation, taking the courses and such, hands-on, or maybe you've been to Quantico for that. Maybe you've gone to your own municipal police academies. It doesn't matter. But there's elements here that are very important. And without me saying, hey, look, you might want to consider this. It's easier if the analysts, do it. Plus, you get the benefit, again, of maybe learning something you didn't know before. So, okay. There's two parts to this. There is the the behavioral analysis of the crowd at Butler. And believe me when I tell you, we know a lot of the identities of a lot of people there. Okay. And the crowd, the dynamics of the crowd is very interesting. Without any further ado, I would like to play this clip. And I don't own these clips. Some said this was being used for Creative Commons purposes. But this is a little bit extended. So I really want to give them credit. And I'll put the link, and you can subscribe or sign up to it if you so choose to support their channels. But there's a behavioral analysis channel that's really worth your time. Again, if you're a parent, if you interact with people, you can learn a lot from this. But in this case, Butler, Pennsylvania, July 13th, 2024, the crowd, the behavior of the crowd. And I know some people know where I'm going with this, never having mentioned what I'm about to mention. And I know, and let me just say this, I also know people, very well known names, have mentioned this. And I stayed silent about this because. But silent no more. If you don't mind, Eric the Tech, let me just get this here. Let me just make sure I got the right one. I don't want to misfire on this one, because this is really like a whole, this is important. Let's see here. Okay. This would be cut three. I did mark it properly, which amazes me. This would be cut three, or video three, starting at the 250 mark. The first couple of minutes, we'll start at the 250 mark. And the initial part of this talks about crowd dynamics.
Talks, cut four starts at 250.
Oh. All right. We can just pop cut through video three in. We'll just play a few minutes just to, and maybe I'll, Eric the Tech, maybe I'll ask you to fast forward a little bit. But think about this. Think about what happened in, think about the Thomas Crooks. So let's say you were at Butler and you saw a guy on the roof of a building and you knew he shouldn't be there. Your response to that, if you are alone, is going to be different than if you're with a crowd of people. the circumstances of your environment are going to traditionally dictate how you respond to that, what you might perceive as a threat. And let's say you do perceive that as a potential threat. You might say, well, I'd be jumping, yelling, screaming. But the dynamics of the crowd and your response to that perceived threat is going to differ with your environment. And that's a key point, because if you ever say, I don't want to say, or you might have a flash in the back of your mind saying, I don't want to say anything because, you know, everyone's suing everyone today. And who knows? I could be wrong. I'd look like an idiot, you know, by pointing this out. Okay. Don't think that way. Just don't think that way. Rewire yourself to think differently. And they go into this. I'm not going to play all the crowd dynamics, because that's not the focus. There's something else here. And I'm sure I'm going to check the, as soon as it starts playing, I'm going to check the chat, and I'll bet you it's already been mentioned, but go ahead and hit video 3.
I'm going to talk about the biggest thing in the news right now, and that's the attempted assassination of former President Trump.
9 months old now.
We're the behavior panel. And today,
I don't know what
that's what we're going to talk about mostly, is behavior, not just body language. There'll be some body language in there as well, obviously, but it's mostly behavior we'll be focusing on today. Greg, why don't you tell us about the videos we're going to watch?
Yeah, what we're not looking at are the shooter or other people like that. What we're looking at is the crowd and how people responded and how they responded to threat. So what we hope you walk away with is some useful tools, some pointers, and some tips that you can use when you're out in public and there could be a problem.
Because we have millions and millions officer, of people in our country that shouldn't be here.
Look, they're all pointing.
The Atlantic, maybe the Pacific.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there. Right there, see him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
What's happening?
Your expedience is to take. Are you able to fast forward that while watching that image until the panel comes back into view?
A lot about behavior. So let's start with this one. When we talk about, Mark, you say it all the time, people naturally, when they have a blank, they'll fill in the most negative thing possible, or fear. But something happens to people when they're in the presence of other people. Whereas a person might be alone and walking along, they might actually have one mindset that, hey, look, this is terrible, this is that. But because we have a social contract in what's acceptable in public, most people will not notice the same threat or will not react to that same threat the same way, because they'll be called a name. You know, we have ways of ostracizing people who call out somebody and say, what's going on over there? You call them nosy. You might call them Karen. You might call them something else. But in fact, that is the most natural state of humans, is to go, that doesn't look right. Why not? Watch these people all dance around that. And this is, by the way, it takes a certain amount of courage to go and say, look, that guy up there doesn't belong up there. Why is he up there? Somebody fix it. That takes courage. And we know about that because even in corporations, people have a tendency not to say the truth when they see it. It's the Emperor's New Clothes fable and all of that. They're not willing to, because they're not willing to be ostracized. What happens here is you see people starting to build up, and then this woman is willing to boldly say, hey, look at that guy's right there. He doesn't belong up there. It took her a while. In the modern world, we're less likely to assign danger to something when we're in a public setting than unless we have some kind of past experience. I mean, I would say Chase and I probably both have more of a tendency to naturally look for threat. My wife always says, because of what we do, I'm always looking for somebody on the side of the road throwing something out and looking to say, is that the size of a person? That's just in my DNA at this point because of what we do. But let's talk for a minute about some of the body language going on here. Now, we talked about this is behavior. Let me tell you, all my data is going to be circa 1990. I did a bodyguard or principal protection instructor qualification for SWIC, for Special Warfare Center, and taught for a while. And in those days, maybe something's changed, but I never saw any agent crawl around on his belly and try to keep a low profile. They try to keep a low profile when there's something coming back. He also would be in a uniform because we need to be able to identify threat from somewhere else. This guy's crawling around on his belly. He's looking secretive. He doesn't have any uniform. He has no markers. That ain't a good guy. And so give yourself permission to call out something like that. I'm not saying shoot the guy, but I'm saying call out. That guy looks dangerous. He's trying to keep his body out of that silhouette, and that's not what typically security guys do. Chase, we know that's happening when somebody's firing back at us, but not when we're trying to get in position because we don't need to. We're traveling together. One last thing I'll leave you with. There's a big difference between being, and you need to think like an anti-terrorism guy. There's two different things. Chase was in counter-terror, where they go out and thump the guys in their homes who are trying to do something to us.
All right, as I'm sure you can imagine, the shooting at the Trump rally in Pennsylvania is generated.
Pause that, and if you can drop that just for a second. And as a matter of fact, advance it to the 50-minute mark, 50. Folks, this panel, I have the utmost respect for the people on this panel. Greg Hartley, Chase Hughes, definitely top notch. And I do know that there's a whole, I want to give you my concerns, but I want to back them up or preface them and predicate them on why and how the mechanics of what they're talking about. So I grabbed from my library when I went through the various training. I also purchased updated manuals, books, and such early 2000s. So one of the things that they're talking about that I don't think they mentioned by name is the criminal analysis model, the CAP model, CAP model. And I can never remember, I'm telling you, I can never remember what that's an acronym for, criminal analysis. Seriously, it's like a mind blank in there. I'm sorry, crime action profiling. Too many acronyms and too much. One of the best books that describes that, and I'll tell you what, it's heavy, is Criminal Profiling. And that's by Principles in Practice, and that's by Richard Kosas, PhD, Dr. Richard Kosas. This is not for everybody. This I could barely get through this book. I mean, it is extremely, and some to me sometimes unnecessarily detailed. But it's necessary if you want to achieve whatever certification you're going after. And then of course, I also recommend the Forensic Casebook. This is the Science of Crime Scene Investigation. Just telling you, okay, that as opposed to a blogger or a journalist, you know, I hope I offer something a little bit more in depth. I hope we, Eric the Tech, myself, and others who are involved in this, Shatter Ops and Save Them, who have gone through similar, if not the same, training at different times, we have this level of knowledge. And if you want to get into the various disciplines, there's, of course, blood spatter analysis. There's blood dynamics. Let me tell you something. You could spend an entire day looking at that photograph of Crooks on that roof and the blood pattern from that. Look, the average body, I should see if people, I don't know how many people know. I'm sure you guys know this, so I won't mess with asking in the chat. But the average body holds about a gallon of blood. Okay, just saying. So just picture a gallon jug of milk or whatever, but it's blood. It averages between, I think, 0.8 of a gallon to 1.3 gallons, depending on your size. Lizzo, I don't know. That might be a 3-gallon day at the beach. I don't know. No, sorry. And then one, like him or don't like him, the guy's smart. Henry Lee, he wrote a book about crime scene. It's a handbook for investigators. It's kind of like if you don't have this, and shut up and sit down and stay out of my crime scene. And then the Bible of them all. Why am I showing you this? Is because every one of these is, well, with the exception of the forensic casebook, that was not used. This is neither an easy nor a fun read, especially the illustrations. If you have any queasy stomach, but this is practical homicide investigations. This is like the Bible for homicide investigations. Of every homicide course uses this. So it one edition or another. Okay. So that's our approach, to give you a barometer reading of where we're coming from. And then on top of that, you have the experience working homicides alongside with as credentialed investigators with police departments. Again, I'm establishing bona fides as if I would be sitting in a courtroom and you are the jury, somebody's asking me questions off camera. So that way you can tell, does this guy know what the hell he's talking about, or is he just full of, you know, crap? Now, that doesn't mean I could be wrong. It means that I've got enough knowledge, I suppose, to be dangerous. And wrong, or right. Think about that. All right. The money part of this, yet undisclosed by us and undiscussed publicly, is something that you need to pay attention to. So from that same video, number 3, at the 50-minute mark, these analysts discuss the crowd behind President Trump. Specifically, they reference 2 people. Now, look, this came out 9 months ago. And so we've been sitting on this for 9 months. We must have watched this a lot. And again, man, hat tip to Greg Hartley and Chase Hughes and the Behavioral Analysis channel. I'll put a link to the channel in the program description box. But go ahead and pick it up at the 50-minute. Look, watch the entire thing, because in that period between the end to 50 minutes, there's a lot of discussion about the crowd in general, a lot of tips about behavior that you can employ to keep yourself and others safe. There's discussion about the protection used by the fallen firemen. There's just a wealth of information. But here's where we pick up and we say, wait a second, you know, and this again, right after this happened, we had a lot to do. And it was like, Derek's a tech, I don't know. He's still not over it. I'm kidding. The guy's a chameleon and a workhorse, but 50 minutes, here we go. Go ahead.
The body language of the people there. And I only saw one anomaly. And it was just the only person, there was only one person I could spot that displayed, maybe 2. And Scott, to your point, the guy that you were talking about, I think there's one more explanation that what I maybe would call, just for YouTube purposes, the Cheech and Chong effect might be at play right there.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's only one person that had their phone at the ready, which seemed like they didn't even need to hit the record button and have it ready to go, showed zero fear response. The shoulders didn't move. Facial muscles didn't move into fear. And there was no crowd checking, as well as 41 other indicators for this one person. That so much, I'm making a video about it on my channel this week.
Okay, can you pause that for
a couple other?
The indicators that he's talking about are they range from, well, we really don't know baseline, but that's an odd movement, or that's an odd posture, or the eye movement, it doesn't match. Or, and I will advance into what he's talking about from his channel next. But, and somebody asked in the chat, do they make a Investigations for Dummies book for us normies? Believe me, I would have that in a heartbeat if they did. Because, man, you know, there's a lot of stuff. You know, you don't know stuff. And you don't know you don't know stuff. And that's why I have been blessed by experienced detectives, investigators and stuff to really show me the ropes. And God bless those people for my ignorance. But the bottom line is, you know, a lot of this is common sense. But with respect to the crime scene and stuff, and respect to this, you can get a lot of this online. Okay, so if you're interested in this. But again, there's two people. One, we looked at both. And as early or as recent, most recent as this is Wednesday, Monday, no, prior to the weekend, and we had somebody talking about this very issue. Okay, this very individual, and not just that individual, but another individual, unnamed and uncited here. But there's a multitude of issues going on here. And this will also, I believe, help to convince you that there were others in the crowd that were working against the life of President Trump. Go ahead, and if you want to back that up, maybe a minute or to the 50 mark again, and play it up.
People there, and I only saw one anomaly, and it was just the only person. There was only one person I could spot that displayed maybe two. And Scott, to your point, the guy that you were talking about, I think there's one more explanation that what I maybe would call, just for YouTube purposes, the Cheech and Chong effect might be at play. Right.
Very there. True.
That's true.
And there's only one person that had their phone at the ready, which seemed like they didn't even need to hit the record button and have it ready to go, showed zero fear response. The shoulders didn't move. Facial muscles didn't move into fear. And there was no crowd checking, as well as 41 other indicators for this one person. That so much, I'm making a video about it on my channel this week with a couple other experts. But I'll leave you to figure out who that was. Greg, what do you
got? Pause that. Chat, now I'll ask you, those who are paying attention and not, you know, not picking on other people and being a menace. Chat, I'll ask you, who do you think that person is? The person of interest topically in this panel discussion. Anyone? There were two, to be clear. There were two. One, the reference there, because, you know, the censorship, they can't say cannabis or marijuana or, you know, high on drugs. That's the indicators. And we collectively here tend to agree. It's just a matter of fact, as opposed to our opinion, research opinion, based on facts that we received, as opposed to a conclusion, a definite conclusion. But the weight of the evidence would not, we wouldn't be looking at that person. No, not Deb. I know who that is. And no. Okay. Props to C-I-N-D-O-P, Lady in Hat. She was connected to government, if I recall. Very good. So, okay, we can draw. Let's see here. Let me see if I should. Well, go ahead and let this play. And if this doesn't get to the meat. No, I'll tell you what, given the time, let's switch to video number four. Now, this is Chase Hughes. This is Chase Hughes, and this you can start. I think this one you can start at the 250 mark, talking about this very person and going into depth as to the reasons why there were problems. Or you know what, Eric, you can leave it. You can start at the beginning. It doesn't matter. But pay attention to the. How he breaks down his analysis. Again, anyone can get on here. I can get on here and spout off a whole bunch of crap and you know, have nothing to base it upon. Or I could show you, like the voice record, the recordings, for example, the acoustics. Man. Okay, I appreciate, and look, for shots that ring out, people who have done the analysis of the recordings, they've generally, a lot of them used cell phones that were moving or in different locations, and you should establish like a single or a solitary point of origin for audio. I'm just saying. And then work off of that. Okay. Which audio forensics is not my thing. So, but that much I do know from it being drilled into my head forever. So, I'll tell you what, just go ahead and start at the 250 mark. I apologize because I do know that there's kind of a long introduction here, unnecessary based on what you've heard. So we'll go start at the 250 mark on video four. And the channel is, now this gentleman's channel is the Behavioral Arts. The body language and behavioral analysis, believe it or not, are two separate things. One is more encompassing than the other, but the title of this video is Did This Woman Know? Military Body Language Expert Reacts to Suspicious Woman at Trump Rally. Again, the original producer of this is the Behavioral Arts channel on YouTube. And let's go here. Chase Hughes and somebody by the name of, well, Spidey, the owner of the Behavioral Arts channel is they're talking together. So here it is about this woman
video
about this.
On this lady behind Donald Trump during the event, and then later we'll zoom out and look at it more holistically, but right now we're only looking at this clip specifically. Here we go.
Watch this shit, dude. Watch. You know, watch. She sits down. Yep. Watch this.
If you want to
put the sign up
something that said, take a look at what happened.
Oh. Shots go off. She's
completely normal. And then watch.
And then she's got her.
What the fuck? What the fuck? People are freaking out.
And she's filming.
And she's just like right there.
All right, so that was the clip. But now we're going to look at some of the behaviors that we're seeing. And Chase, a lot of people get a little confused when we do this in analysis. The first phase is just talking about behaviors. We're not making conclusions yet. A lot of people often confuse observations for conclusions. So when we say we're seeing something, they start with, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. We're not talking about why these things are happening yet. We're just talking about in this specific video what we're seeing. Now, as we go on and analyze, that might change as we look at different angles, as we think about this critically, but right now we're just gonna list behaviors. So I'll start. In the video, the gentleman talked about the sign, how she's holding up a sign. Now, again, in this close, zoomed in version, it does appear like this sign is being held in front of her. So it might look like a blocking gesture, like she's hiding behind this sign, unconsciously thinking about hiding or having that barrier in front of her. Now, again, when we get more information, we're gonna see if that checks out, but for right now, that's one observation. Chase, what's another?
Yeah, if you watch her face and her body, you're not seeing any fear in this. And the one thing I look for if I'm ever spotting fear in a human being is their skeleton moving in a way that protects their arteries? Or is their body moving in a way that's protecting brachial arteries by pulling the arm into the body? Are their shoulders coming up and the shoulders coming up to protect the carotid artery? And typically we'll see the rib cage pulled down to cover up this soft belly that we all have. We increase the amount of bones protecting our belly by this hunch over gesture. You'll see a lot of the people in the crowd do that. But we don't see any of that behavior here with her. And we're also not seeing a fear facial expression. And anytime you see this, you can see it at 100 yards away. Somebody that's in fear, these corners of the mouth here will draw almost backward toward the ears. You're going to see this kind of pulling back, and you're going to see these little ligament things right here jump up in front of these arteries. This is a sternocleidomastoid right here that jumps up and protects those little carotid arteries right there. None of that behavior. And this is a fuzzy video. It's still clear enough for us to have seen that facial expression and those body movements. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to add to your fear comment there, another thing that we see with fear and with a lot of the emotions that happen with assessment, so fear, surprise, even anger, we see the eyes open up, because research has shown that the more the eyes are open, the more data we take in to try to assess what to do. And although she's wearing sunglasses, so we don't know if her eyes are opening, it's usually something you could tell in the rest of the face, because even the eyebrows open up. There's this open expression on the face. So the body closes, the face opens up, and we're not seeing that. You were also talking about, you know, some of the behavior in the crowd, and what's really interesting is at the very same time she's matching the crowd, but also she's not. In terms of movement, she's matching the crowd. She goes down with everyone else, but we're not seeing this thing that we're both very familiar with, which is looking around the crowd to take a social cue, to figure out what to do. And the reason you're familiar with this is because you've studied these kinds of situations a lot. And for me, we're going to talk a lot today about my experience with magic and mentalism. And when we see a really good magic trick, something that we really can't explain, it actually triggers our survival instinct. We're scared for a moment. Because we can't explain it to that degree, we look for answers and we go into panic mode. So we typically see people look around like, what do we do? What's going on? Oh my God. It's so common. If you watch magicians on social media, you see this. Oh my, they look around at each other. There's none of that. She's matching the movement, but she's not looking around to see what's going on. What are we doing? Guys, what's the situation here?
If you can pause that just for a second. The bottom line up front on this suggests, and I'm going to choose my words carefully again, for reasons. When you look at the dynamics of the crowd and hours upon hours of looking through the motions of the people behind, sitting behind the president, specifically in the line of fire, out of all of those people, these analysts are correct. I mean, you would have to say that the actions of this individual, without any other information, just based upon the analysis of her body movements and behavior and so-called reaction, maybe that might be a better way to state it, suggests foreknowledge. And also suggests that ain't no bullets coming my way, which didn't work out quite that way, did it? Because in the stands, although degrees away, Corey Comparatore, and two others, Corey, of course, fatally shot, protecting his family, and the two others seriously wounded. But even so, it is very suggestive and consistent with foreknowledge of an event And I think we're going to skip the magic part because you can watch that on your own, because there's a lot more to unpack. And again, the crowd dynamics, folks, you've seen this, you know about this, you've been a part of this at some point in your life, I'm sure. But this is so important. That picture of the eyes and the facial expressions, these are involuntary, primitive involuntary movements that you can't control. And there's also an issue, too, when so many interviews, especially with people of the press, saying, oh, yeah, first we thought it was firecrackers. I mean, how many times have you heard that? We thought it was firecrackers, about any shooting. Why is that? Because real actual shootings don't sound like a Hollywood movie set. Which is why Corey jumped on his face. He knew. Which is why you could pick out who served or who was in law enforcement or who has been shot at or has heard real gunfire. Okay. Because they immediately protect their families or go down in a protective stance. The people, and this is important, the people in the crowd behind the president, the now President Trump, out of all the people, the one person visible on all of the videos who did not respond in the manner consistent with reacting to the incident as opposed to having foreknowledge was this person. Am I saying that this person, am I saying publicly that this person is guilty of something? No. I'm just saying, look at the body language, understand what the behavioral analysts, these people have tons of experience and are professionals. I'm not. But I put my faith in the professionals who've been there, done it, understand it. And you saw Michael Yon at the beginning of the show. Let me tell you something. If he was there, believe me. He'd be covering others or, you know, ducking, depending on where he was, because he's heard shots. So we can continue with this. When you get to the magic, we'll just fast forward through that. So go ahead.
Absolutely true. And one of the things why we do that is it's rooted into our DNA. And you can see this in any species. If you just imagine a herd of deer, 8 or 9 deer standing out in a field, eating some flowers and stuff. And one deer goes, huh? Like they just heard something and like sticks its head up really quick. All the other deer start checking each other for like, I'm going to check the other deer first to see if they spotted something before I did. So that's where all mammal brains are shortcutted to see what is my tribe doing? What are the animals around me doing? Then I'm going to search for something because it's likely someone else saw something first. So initially I saw this clip on X, or formerly Twitter, and it's zoomed in, just cropped down to this tiny little thumbnail of existence here. It's like I'm trying to look at a crowd through a McDonald's straw. And that's kind of what we're doing in this video. So in this clip alone, you can see one thing that a lot of people are commenting on. And these people are saying, well, she's looking up toward this position of the sniper. Multiple times, she's kind of looking up at that position over there, keeps looking. And that, man, if you just look at it with this one clip right here, that looks a little weird. And it looks maybe suspicious. Maybe that looks suspicious if we're zoomed in like this. And I'm excited to see some context. And hopefully we can zoom out on this and see, take the straw away from our eye.
Beautifully said. Another thing that a lot of commenters are talking about on social media is her phone, how it's immediately in her hands, almost like she's ready, almost like she's already recording. And when the panic happens and people are, you know, shuffling about trying to figure out what to do, she it's still up, and it's up, and it seems like a big priority for her. And again, remember, this isn't analysis yet. We're just looking at this behavior. The phone's out, it's recording. Of course, context is going to help us understand this a little bit better. But for right now, yeah, it seems odd how in this moment where people are trying to figure out what's going on, we're hearing panic in the clip, she's got her phone out. That seems to be a priority.
And I'd be suspicious of anybody in any crowd where everyone's panicking except one person. And especially one person that looks like they're doing a job or that they have a task to do. That looks very unusual for the desire to complete a job to completely trump the desire for survival and safety. And there's got to be some things in place for that to happen. I think hopefully we can dig into that here in a second.
Yes, sir. And one last thing that we wanted to talk about, Chase, which I would like for you to talk about because this was in our conversation a main point for you as well, is the sense of focus that she has. You kind of touched on it there for a sec, but we can even elaborate a little bit more on she's focused. She seems to have her focus on one thing or individual. And what is that?
When we do herd checking, we're checking the other members of the herd to see if they're safety. You'll see lateral eye movement, lateral head movement, looking back and forth. And somehow the priority to keep that phone pointed directly at him, no matter what's happening. Someone's moving her. She's kind of moving with the crowd and just kind of bending with them, but she's maintaining the steadiness of that phone. That I've never seen behavior like that. And I've done 9 solid deployments to crazy areas of the planet.
You can pause that for a second. I would definitely defer to his analysis, given his experience, his course of study, and well, most importantly, his experience. And he's 100% accurate, like he needs my validation, right? But as you continue to, as we continue to go through this, please think about this. There are only 3 possible scenarios involved in this, surrounding this attempted assassination. There's only 3. The first one is the official narrative, kind of like the Warren Commission of July 13th, right? The official narrative. Crooks, wayward, you know, who the hell knows what his motive was? Who cares what his motive was? He climbs on a roof, absolutely escapes notice, except to people in the crowd, and fires 8 shots, you know, until he's stopped by a shooter on the ground and then, of course, the Secret Service sniper. How likely is that? No, ain't happening. Because when you analyze the 12 independent failures by the U.S. Secret Service, by HSI, by the departments, but it all goes back to the case agent in charge of that venue. The odds of all of those things happening, throw in a potential assassin, it's 1 in 1 or 1 in 1 septillion. It's just ridiculous. So that's scenario number 1, which is BS. Scenario number 2 is a foreign nation acting against to take out President Trump. Specifically at the time, there was talk about Iran. You know what? Believe me, that there's a lot of reasons why that's unlikely. I'm not going to get into any of those because it's just not likely. And then the third, which we, based on our investigation, have concluded and conveyed, it is an inside job. And folks, it is very, you can compare all of this, the things that happened on that day at that location in Western Pennsylvania to, and this is why I spoke about Epstein. I referenced a little bit of the historical deaths over the years. Because there is a playbook out there. And if you, it's not published, you can't buy it through Amazon, but there are certain characteristics, just like those 41, man, 41 indicators of something ain't right here. You can apply what we spoke about on Monday and Tuesday to today. And you can identify that this is an inside job. As a matter of fact, we can throw in MK Ultra, because you think back to the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy at the Ambassador Hotel. Sirhan, 11 bullets from an 8-round chambered gun. No. And shot in the back when actually he was in front of RFK. It doesn't add up. So we'll continue with this. I'll shut up. We'll continue. Go ahead.
Yeah. Your stories haunt my dreams. That's how crazy they are. Okay, now that we've seen the behaviors from that zoomed in clip that everyone's talking about, and for sure body language indicates this and that, we're going to zoom out a little bit and see what different angles can provide in terms of context. So I found two angles that are zoomed out, and one of them was really, really hard to find, but there's something I just love about, and we're going to talk about it. But let's just now look at the two zoomed out videos in succession and then come back and see how they kind of help us get a more clear image of what's going on by zooming out, which is counterintuitive, but works.
That's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened. Oh. And take a look at what happened. Oh.
Okay, so I want to start with the first thing that immediately jumped out at me. The first bit of context we get is that it's not her sign at all. And in the original video, the guy who was commenting on, you know, it was on TikTok, but then it was used on X as well. He's saying she sits down, puts the sign up. So it's not like he's introducing a new subject. She sits down and the person in front of her puts the sign up. So he's at the very least very much insinuating that it's her sign.
She sits down. Yep. Watch this.
If you want to
puts the sign up.
Something that said.
And I must admit, when I saw the zoomed in version, especially with the guy commenting saying she sits down, puts the sign up, it made sense to me that she sits down and she puts the sign up. But the moment we zoom out, we see that it's not even her sign. Chase, what I'm curious about is in the way that he says it. He says she sits down, puts the sign up. It almost seems like there's a little bit of distancing in the language, because he doesn't reiterate she or puts her sign up. He says she sits down, puts the sign up, and like there's that bridge at the end, like there's, look at this, there's more coming. So I wonder if, whether it's conscious or subconscious, he kind of knows it's not her sign, but he's just trying to get the that excitement going. What do you think?
Can you pause that for a second? Wanting to create something that, you know,
Thanks. You can keep it right there. But here's the issue there. Although this does not make any sense in practice, in reality, we have inherent defense mechanisms. So if there's a guy coming at me with a gun, 99 out of 100 times, I'm going to put my arms up like this. Is it going to stop that bullet from going into my noggin? No. So the importance of that was to suggest, oh, you know, maybe I can protect myself. Put that aside. When you can, folks, the link will be at HagmanPI.com. When you go through the entire thing, you can see the difference. You can see stark differences. You don't have to be certified in anything. It's just there. You'll notice it. Go ahead and continue with this.
People are find it entertaining. And I also think that he verbally zooms in on this. So he uses words to zoom in on this clip as well. But I'm also willing to go on a limb and say there's a chance that his cognitive bias about something being present here made him ignore this in the zoomed out clips. No doubt, if he's clipped this and trimmed it and hopefully looked at some other things and examined them, hopefully he's seen that. And maybe he didn't realize it. Maybe there's a genuine thing there in his brain. He's saying, I want to see that woman holding that sign. She needs to have some kind of barrier gesture. That might be happening. One thing that we're also seeing here is that there's other people. Now we're seeing other people that don't have a fear response, especially this guy in the fedora and the John Lennon glasses, who's just chilled out to the max back there, just kind of wondering, like, what are all you people doing? But I would say the difference between him and this woman is that he looks around. He is confused. He does crowd checking, or what we called earlier, herd checking, checking around to see what's going on. Is there someone else who knows something that I don't? So we do see still the confusion we would expect and the herd checking, the threat checking that we would expect. And we still don't see that in her. And she does not do any of that. There is no confusion in her behavior whatsoever. So this guy is an anomaly, but even no matter what it is, maybe he's been to meditating in a Buddhist camp for 30 years and that's chilled him out to this point. But still, no matter what's going on in the upper part of our brain, that mammalian brain system still takes over. And that's where you see this confusion. Do I need to do something? How do I need to behave or act in this situation?
He paused it right there because I'm going to address something in the chat to those who are not throwing insults to other people. Please don't do that. Please. Okay. The question is, was she waiting to see how it turned out, or was she trying to film the assassination to say job well done, whoever was trying to kill President Trump? Okay. Look, I'm not saying anything about her, but I'll just paint a scenario. Let's just say, hypothetically now, that she was an operational asset for the deep state, put there for a purpose. There, if that was the case, I would think, based on what, you know, there's two reasons. Number one, to document everything. That's right, because they have scribes and documentarians. And the second and more important aspect, and I would say if there was anyone there, okay, well, let's just, again, speak hypothetically. I'm not saying that she's guilty of anything or involved in anything. You get where I'm coming from, right? There would be a second and or third person, definitely a second, absolutely, in the crowd or around the media dais, that there would be some communication, whether it be just a hand gesture or something very, looking at it, you'd say, that's innocuous, meaningless. I'm telling you right now, there was not just more than one involved in the actual attempt, but there were also agents, operational assets, working to ensure that everything was captured properly, that the, hey, you know, job done, okay, and so on, if you get my drift. The problem, of course, as we saw on that day, is that whole thing was interrupted by really two major factors. A crowd that was vocal enough to disrupt, in effect, have an adverse impact on the timing, enough to scare off any second potential, shall I say, shooter that was in that general area, as well as perhaps given the or as well as, I'm not even going to say perhaps, as well as the response, which we haven't shown you yet. There was a police response to the wood line around that fence. Not the, or the, that, 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 around the property where the buildings are. There was a police response there. You didn't see that. And I don't even know if it was reported. So this was not, I can say with absolute certainty, our investigative conclusion, this was an inside job, inside actors or actors who stood down, facilitated the stand down, put people in the crowd to converse and to convey instructions as well as to document things and ostensibly to facilitate the escape of the individuals, the individual actors, the actual people involved in shooting. Quite frankly, like I said before, I don't know if Crooks fired a shot. But if he did, I've got to congratulate the guy, because only for being able to police his brass so nicely before he got his head blown off. Just saying. And the other thing, the people that were there, again, or the just to reiterate this, to facilitate an escape. But the planners, the plotters, the people behind this at the higher levels absolutely knew that everyone there was a throwaway. End of story. Do we know the individuals? Yeah, I mean, we know these people. We know the names of the identity. The identities, plural. I'm just saying. I know we're short on time. Folks, I don't know if this made sense to you, but the behavioral analysis part of this, you know, Vincent Fusca, that's the other guy that was standing up in the fedora. You know, some people thought he was RFK Jr., the Q people, the theory. Yeah, of course, he wasn't, or never was. He was, but that was kind of like being tossed about, but I think that was more even back in the day, you know, the 8 years ago or 7 years ago. I think that was more of a mental or a psychological op, psyop, than anything else. So having said all of this, the reason you look at what's going on today with Pam Bondi, the Justice Department, you look at what's the FBI, what's going on there, the lack of prosecutions, the unwillingness to file charges against the two House members who absolutely are on video committing felonies at New Jersey ICE detention. And you're wondering, oh, wait a second, they should be charged. Maybe they will be, but I'm not holding out hope. And maybe, just maybe, we might see justice with some Epstein people and Combs, that trial. But all of those are all the same types of people, and even overlapping, that really have their fingers in everything